You can turn in your Bibles to Zechariah chapter 2. We're going to begin there. We're going to kind of look at different passages tonight. But tonight, I want to talk to you about prayer. But more than prayer, I want to talk to you about intercession and the power of it. But I want to give you an illustration of that and how that pertains to us as individuals and as groups of believers in prayer. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have a computer at home? How many of you know whether your computer has a firewall or not? How many of you know that your computer has a firewall? How many of you are not sure? How many of you don't know what a firewall is? Okay. All right. If you don't know what a firewall is, it's good for you to get to know what a firewall is. Okay? I want to talk to you tonight about spiritual firewalls dealing with intercession. And I believe this is just a good word. It's an encouragement to me, being in prayer and gathering with the pastors Monday through Friday and our Friday morning times of prayer here. And I feel like it's just good for us to talk about prayer and intercession. And I want to share this with you tonight so that you can see the importance, the value of moving into a place of intercession. Not just praying, but intercession. Intercession, in a lot of ways, you can call it the next level. You can call it the next level in prayer. It is more arduous. It is more time-consuming. Intercession is more costly. In regular prayer, or just, you know, not for it being a negative way of saying it, but for lower-level prayers, we pray for things that will, you know, bring good to people and, you know, help us in our daily existence and prayer life, and that's good. There's nothing wrong with praying about those things, right? But when you come into a time of intercession, you're dealing with higher levels. You're dealing with higher levels of prayer before the Lord. And so that's really what I want to talk to you about. So I want to talk to you about spiritual firewalls dealing with intercession. And so let's just start at the beginning and understand that God is a God of fire. Is he not? Zechariah chapter 2, verse 5. Says, for I, says the Lord, look at this, will be a wall of fire all around her, talking about Jerusalem. I'll be a fire all around her, a wall of fire, and I will be the glory in her midst. So here, God is saying something powerful to the children of Israel. He's saying, and you know, in those days, cities had walls around them. They were for protection. They were for protection from enemies. On the walls were the watchmen. On the walls, at the gates, were the gatekeepers. We'll look at those in a little bit if we have time. But cities had walls around them for protection. A city without walls was in a very dangerous situation. There was no way to prevent an attack from the enemy. But here, God says, I will be a wall, and not just a wall, but a wall of fire. I will be a wall of fire all around her, and I will be the glory in her midst. Okay? In other words, what God was saying at this time to Jerusalem and the inhabitants there was basically saying, Jerusalem, you don't need another wall because I will be a fiery wall for your protection. How many of you are glad that God can present us with a wall of fire? That we can come under his protection. And I'll tell you, I'd rather have the wall of fire that's my God than a wall of brick and stone and mortar. God knows how to protect his children. He was telling the people in Jerusalem, I will be your protector. I will be a wall, but a wall of fire. Who would want to ascend and try to scale a wall of fire? God is an incredible God. And God is associated with fire in different ways, okay? In Deuteronomy 9:3, God is talking about destroying Israel's enemies. And he says this, he says, therefore, understand today that the Lord your God is he who goes over before you as a consuming fire. So when the children of Israel were preparing to enter into the promised land, this is in Deuteronomy, just before they were leaving, Moses is giving them a recap of the law, giving them a recap of God's works, and they're about to go in. So God says, when you go in, he says, understand today. He's telling them, capture this. He says that the Lord your God is he who goes before you, but not just going before you. He will go as a consuming fire. He will destroy them and bring them down before you, so you shall drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord has said to you. So God is a consuming fire towards the enemies and towards those that need to be removed. You look at Isaiah 33, 13 and 14. The text there is referring to God's wrath and judgment. He's referring to God's wrath and judgment. Go to Isaiah 33. We're just kind of setting a foundation here to kind of deal with this. In verse 13, it says, "Hear you who are far off that what I have done, and you who are near, acknowledge my might. The sinners of Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has seized the hypocrites. Who among us," and look at what it says, "because of this, sinners in Zion are afraid, and fearfulness has seized the hypocrites." He says, "Who among us shall dwell with a devouring fire? Who shall dwell with a devouring fire, and who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings?" And so God is talking about, in this sense, he's talking about the wrath that is coming down on the people. And then, of course, you go to Hebrews chapter 12. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Again, we're just trying to set a little foundation here. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 28 and 29, it talks about God being a consuming fire, but verse 28 begins with the word therefore. And you know, we've talked about this before. Whenever you see a therefore, you have to look back to what precedes it, because what precedes it is connected to what's coming after it. So when you go back, preceding verse 28 is God shaking the heavens and the earth. God shaking the heavens and the earth. So then he comes into verse 28. "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." And then verse 29, "For our God is a consuming fire." Our God is a consuming fire. Now, we know what fire can do, right? In 2017, we saw over 48,000 acres burned on our mountain. And all we could do was just watch it by day and watch it by night. And every night we would watch how much further did it cross over the mountain from north to south. And we would watch it as it would go up the mountain and come down into the ravines and go back up and just continue going. And it consumed over 48,000 acres on our mountain. Fire, we understand, okay? Fire out of control is destructive. It's dangerous. It's costly. Okay, fire under control is another story. Fire that's controlled, it gives light, it gives warmth, it clears away unwanted brush, it cooks meals, it does all those things. So fire under control is a resource. A fire that's under control is a resource, and it's something to use wisely. Now let me get into this thing about computers, okay? Computers have what you would call a firewall. It's either a hard piece of the equipment, or it's a software, okay? It's either the hardware or the software, but it has a firewall, okay? Now, a firewall is this. A firewall is a system designed to prevent unauthorized access to or from a private network. Now, I want you to understand this in the natural so you can apply it to the spiritual. So let me tell you again. Now, I just got this last night, okay? I'm trying to put this all together in one night, in one day, just trying to pull it all together, because I started seeing this, and I wanted to share this with you because I believe prayer is so critical right now in so many ways. Let me say it again. A firewall is a system designed to prevent unauthorized access. Everybody say unauthorized. Okay, it prevents something that is unauthorized from that's coming to or from a private network. And what a firewall does is it is constantly monitoring incoming and outgoing traffic. So as you're on the computer and you're doing your computer things and you're on the internet, or you have access to the internet and it's there, it's always interacting. The firewall in the computer is interacting, and it's there as a wall of protection so that your computer does not receive viruses and malware and things that would come in to contaminate it and corrupt your computer. So firewalls are very important, are they not? How many of you ever had a computer become contaminated? It's a mess, isn't it? It's a mess. And you've got to go through all the systems and everything to try to clear it up, go to a professional, whatever, to get it going. But, you know, you need to remember this as it applies to intercession, okay? The firewall is a system that prevents unauthorized access, and it constantly monitors incoming and outgoing information, okay? Here's another thing a firewall does. It decides. A firewall decides whether or not to allow or block traffic. Now, here's the thing, based on a defined set of security rules. So a firewall has a system of security rules. You can call them laws, okay? But it has a system of rules that if something is coming in towards your computer, this firewall is examining it and it's breaking it apart to see whether this is something that can be allowed into your computer or if it's something foreign that might damage your computer. And so it decides. How many of you see your computer deciding things? You know, we just get on there and we go. But the computer is constantly, this firewall is constantly examining what's coming in and whether it is going to be safe or if it is not going to be safe. Okay? So let me just kind of give you the diagram of this. You have out here, you know, you have, let's call that cyberspace. Okay? And over here you have viruses. Okay, you have malware. You have these things that want to release itself and attack, and over here is your computer. Okay, so you have your computer here, but this has a firewall. And so as systems and evil people that make up these things, as it tries to release, it wants to come into your system to do something about it. I think my phone is ringing. I think I forgot to turn it off. We're using it as a camera. That's my fault. Now, here's the thing. Tina's cage running up there. Here's the thing about it. If a computer does not have a firewall, this virus, this malware, whatever it is, can come in and contaminate your computer and bring it into a place of corruption. But when a computer has a firewall, what it does, just for the sake of this illustration, what it does is it builds a wall. And before this virus or the malware can get to your computer, it hits the wall and the firewall blocks it. Keeps it from entering in. Okay? How many of you are glad if you have a computer that you have firewalls? You know, I'm glad. You know, because this can contaminate, corrupt your system to where it's irreparable even, okay? So that's kind of in the natural what you would look at as a computer. Now I want you to kind of visualize this in intercession or in the area of being a spiritual firewall. Okay, so let's say over here, got to use the right color. Over here you have people, okay? You have a group of people, you have a nation, you have a city, whatever. You have a group of people. And over here, you have again, you have this evil, okay? You might even have, and you can look at it biblically, you might even have judgment coming, okay? Judgment from God that's coming. Without a firewall in place, this will come and attack the people. So what God looks for, in this sense, God looks for someone who will become, or a group of people that will become a firewall against these things, even against God's judgments. So what happens is God puts it on people's hearts to come and become this firewall so that these things will not penetrate into this group of people, and these people will be protected by the intercession, by the firewall of the people. When you pray for people, when you have a prayer need and you go into intercession, you need to begin to look at yourself as the one that's being a firewall to prevent something from coming in to attack or destroy people. If you see judgment coming, if you see God about to render judgment for a certain situation, whether it be a person, a city, or a nation, and you see judgment about to come, again, God is looking for people among us that will become a firewall in prayer and intercession. Call this the United States of America. Okay? How many of you believe this nation needs prayer? How many of you believe that we are headed towards judgment if things don't turn? Okay, I think it was Billy Graham or Ann Graham Lotz, one of them, I believe, said that if God doesn't judge America, then he'll owe Sodom and Gomorrah an apology. Because God punishes sin. He's been merciful to this nation, but we are on a course that is headed towards judgment. And if we are on a course headed towards judgment, if this is the judgment of God that is coming, God is still looking, even though judgment is coming, God is still looking for people who will break out of the masses and become a spiritual firewall of intercessors that will stay God's hand. And how many of you believe that can happen? The scriptures bear that out, okay? And so that's what we're talking about, spiritual firewalls, the intercessors, the watchmen, the gatekeepers. These are the spiritual firewalls that God has set up to protect people. Even when God's wrath is about to be poured out, even in his mercy, in his wrath, he has mercy and he still looks for somebody that can stay his hand. And that's a powerful thing to think about, folks. We're talking about gatekeepers. These are guards that were stationed at various gates for protection. Those were the gatekeepers, okay? They had to be trustworthy. They had to be alert because they were going to be the firewall. You had watchmen and you had gatekeepers. The watchmen were on the wall to see far out from the wall if any enemies were coming. And at a distance, they had to determine whether they were friend or foe. And so the watchmen had to be on guard, not just to see, but to perceive. So watchmen are these firewall people that are on the walls watching, and it takes perception, the spiritual perception in God's people when they pray to discern what is coming and to discern what God is saying. When you pray, how many of you believe God will answer or God will speak to you? How many, when you pray, you also listen? Okay? Why? Because God gives us spiritual perception of what is happening, what is going to take place, what is on the road towards us. And so as these firewall intercessors, they come out from the masses, they come and they set themselves as a guard. The watchmen on the wall are seen far out. The gatekeepers are at the various gates, and there's a lot of gates. There's gates that allow people in and out of the city. There are gates to the king's palace. There are gates to different areas of the city. And so the gatekeepers are watching at the gates themselves. And they're another form of protection that God sets in place. And that was in the natural, but you can apply it to the spiritual. Okay? So you have watchmen. You have gatekeepers. They had to be trustworthy. They had to be alert. They were the firewalls. Okay? Our actions can be actions of a watchman and a gatekeeper. What we do in prayer can be a watchman and gatekeeper type of intercession, where we watch over and we take care, okay? And this is where we need to be, folks. How many of you know that Jonah was a firewall to Nineveh, even though he hated Nineveh? I mean, think about it. You see, being a firewall is not just being a firewall intercessor for people you like, or for things that you like or things that you want. Sometimes God will set you in between himself and what you detest because God wants a firewall to stop what is about to happen. God spoke to Jonah and said, I want you to go to Nineveh, that great city, and I want you to preach to it because judgment is going to fall. Jonah said what? Doubt it. And he went the other way. He got on a ship and he went the exact opposite way. And you know the story. God, in his own way, got him back on track. And he went to Nineveh. And this is what he preached. 40 days and judgment is coming. What was God doing? Even Nineveh, being a heathen city, being a heathen nation of people, and they were the enemies of Israel. They were the enemies of God's people. They were corrupt. They were evil. They were immoral. They were an ungodly people, and God was about to judge them. But even in that position of about to judge them, God sends a prophet. He sends Jonah to them so that he might be a firewall between God's judgment and the people who needed mercy. There are times that people don't even know they need mercy, and so God sends an intercessor. God brings in a firewall person to protect that person, even in their ignorance. And so God brought Jonah 40 days, and Nineveh will be destroyed. 40 days, and Nineveh is going to be judged. 40 days, and you're done. And so what happened? The Bible says that they listened. First of all, they listened to Jonah. They listened to what he said. Then they put on sackcloth, they fasted, they did everything they knew to do to come into alignment with the warning. You see, when intercessors give the warning, when God gives them the revelation and the discernment, the perception like we were talking about earlier, when he gives that to them and that's released, then the people have to respond. But that's God's way of wanting to stay his hand so that he might be merciful to a people who do not deserve mercy. And we can look at our nation, and in a lot of ways we can say our nation doesn't deserve mercy anymore. We can look at it and we can see the sin that is piled up high in our nation and say, God, you know, this nation doesn't deserve mercy. But it's not about deserving it. It's about God giving it in spite of us, just like he did to Nineveh. And so Jonah became a firewall to the city of Nineveh, even though he didn't like the people. Because it's not whether you like them or not, it's what God wants to do and what God says. And so we have to come into that place where we acknowledge God and we become this firewall. You know, we don't have to go there, but the two chapters in the Old Testament that I felt like the Lord gave me for this upcoming prayer event, when I went to the pastors and said, this I'd like for us to pray together, was basically, and you've heard me talk about it, Nehemiah 1 and Daniel 9. Both of them are prayers, are really firewall prayers. Now Nehemiah, the people had already been released to go to Jerusalem. The remnant was in Jerusalem, but there was a horrible condition there. The walls were still broken down. The gates were burned with fire. The people were in distress and in contempt. The enemies were ridiculing them. They were in a bad situation. And so Nehemiah was both a literal wall builder and a spiritual firewall man, to go in and to stop the enemy from coming in and bringing more destruction. And so Nehemiah, in his own way, was a firewall man, and how he did it was he repented for the sins of the people. You know, when you're praying and you're praying for, let's say you're praying for the nation, or you're praying for the city, or you're praying for the church, don't be afraid to include yourself in the prayer of repentance, just like Nehemiah did. We have sinned. Nehemiah said, we have sinned. Daniel, in Daniel 9, we have sinned. We have acted corruptly. We have transgressed you. We have walked away from, we. He identified, and to be an intercessor, to be a firewall intercessor, you have to be able to identify with the very people that you're praying for. And that's important, folks. It is vitally important that you identify with those to whom you are being a firewall person for, okay? And I'll tell you, God is raising up people to become firewall people, and things are happening in this nation. I want to read you this little example that took place, and some of you have read it, some of you haven't, but up in the CHOP area, the CHOPS area. They called it CHAZ, and now they call it CHOP. But that's where the rioting was going on in the Pacific Northwest, okay, in Seattle area. Let me read you what was taking place recently. It said, the power of God was on display in Seattle's Cal Anderson Park on Sunday. The power of God on display. As hundreds of people gathered for the Let Us Worship rally that was organized by Bethel Music's Sean Fuchs. I think that's how you pronounce his name. The area, formerly known as CHOP or CHAZ, had been a focal point for protesters who took over the neighborhood earlier this summer. Demonstrators came to this section of the city after growing tensions following the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis. But Sunday's event was packed with prayer and praise for the Holy Spirit. Something was happening, okay? A firewall was being built in that very same location, that location up in Choppin' Chaz. Fuchs shared a video on Instagram that shows men, women, and children giving their lives to Christ there on Choppin' Chaz territory. I mean, what better place than to go right into where the devil was having a heyday and bring people to Christ? You see, that's an intercessor. That's a firewall person, a firewall group of people that will go in and will make a change because they're taking a stand. It says, the crowd sang and danced freely without fear of COVID-19. How about that? It says, the church showed up and God met us. I love that. It doesn't say God showed up or God met us and then we showed up. It says we showed up and then God met us. You see, a lot of us want so much safety in our intercession, in our times of warfare, that we want God to make it all ready for us so we can go in and nothing will happen. These people went in and God showed up. If you want to see change in intercession and in your spiritual warfare, sometimes you're going to have to walk into a bad situation so God will show up in the bad situation. We can't be waiting for God to do it all and then us step in and take the credit. That's not what it's about. We never get the credit anyway. It's all for His glory. But these folks went in. I love it. The church showed up and God met us. God poured out His presence, love, and kindness in immeasurable ways. Last night, over the area formerly known as CHOP, the worship leader wrote, now listen to this, despite violent protesters who tried to shut down the rally, you see, they had opposition. They went into an enemy territory. They went into the enemy's camp. They went into a place that was evil. It said, despite violent protesters who tried to shut down the rally, Fuchs and the rest of the crowd continued to worship. In the face of opposition. Now listen to this. We had an entire satanic cult march through the worshipers the entire time yelling, Hail Satan. So here is the people of God, the firewall intercessors and worshipers. And they're worshiping God. And in the midst of them, a satanic group came in and they were yelling, Hail Satan, Hail Satan. And they kept on worshiping and they kept on praising. And they didn't let it stop them. That's a firewall person. Don't let those things stop you. It says they kept yelling, Hail Satan. They killed our generators at one point. They went over and literally got the generators to stop working, whether they unplugged them or banged them or did whatever. I don't know. They just said they got them to stop. If this is the same location, because there was another story written, it's either this location or another location, a similar thing happened. And if it was this situation, it was these folks. But they actually got to the stage, and they were actually able to damage the worship equipment, the sound equipment. They were able to break a foot pedal for one of the guitars, and they were able to damage the drums, but they kept on worshiping. They kept on praising. They kept on. They were firewall people that were saying, this is enough. And that's what a firewall intercessor does. A firewall intercessor says, this is enough. How many of you are willing to say tonight, this is enough? If you're willing to say that and put it into shoe leather, then you will become a firewall Christian. You'll become a firewall intercessor that says, God, it stops here. They never stopped singing. It says, listen to this, because they never stopped singing, in the midst of Hail Satan, Hail Satan, Hail Satan, in the midst of all that, they saw salvations, healings, miracles, and baptisms. They had a baptismal tank there, whether it was a trough or what, I don't know. But they had some water there in some kind of a container. And when people got saved, they got dunked. They got baptized. They didn't say, we'll pray about it. They didn't say, go home and get another change of clothes. You're saved. Get in the water. And they were baptized in the midst of all of that. Those are the actions of firewall believers. Those are the actions of firewall intercessors and firewall Christians that will stand up and say enough is enough. It was on another level, he said. How many of you want to go to another level? How many of you are willing to pay the price for another level? You see, we want another level as long as the other level is like this level. You know? No, it's going to be a different level. It'll be glorious, but it'll be challenging. And God wants us to step up, not down. He doesn't want us to step down. He doesn't want us to step sideways. He wants us to step up into greater glory. But you know the old saying that came out years ago, higher levels, higher devils. Okay? Greater levels, greater devils. There you go. However you say it. Something like that. But they match. Okay? They match. And so we have to be willing to move into it. So it says, the church refused to be intimidated, and God kept pouring out. That's what happens when we become firewall intercessors. That's what we need today, folks. We need firewall intercessors that are going to pray and intercede for people that don't deserve worship, they don't deserve mercy, they don't deserve God's favor, they are on a road to hell, they're on a road to in condemnation, they're under the judgment of God, they still need a firewall. The city of Safford, Thatcher, Pima, they need firewalls. The lost people need firewalls because the lost are on their road to a devil's hell. And it's the firewall people that'll stand in the gap, that'll be there for them and saying, God, have mercy on them. Stay your hand. It's a powerful thing, folks. Go to Ezekiel chapter 2. This is the making of a firewall intercessor. Ezekiel 2 and 3. This is Ezekiel's calling. And listen to this. He's sent to a rebellious people. The Israelites were full of rebellion. How many of you want to be a pastor over a rebellious church? Over rebellious people. God, send me to the rebels. This is Ezekiel, okay? This is what's happening in Ezekiel. God downloads into Ezekiel the security rules to be a firewall to Israel. If you take a look at this illustration up here, Ezekiel becomes the firewall, and God is downloading the information to Ezekiel to be a firewall. To be a firewall. Okay? He's being sent to rebellious people just like we are today. Okay? It says in verse 1, and he said to me, son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak to you. I think that's important. But that's when it says, verse 2, then the Spirit entered me when he spoke to me and set me on my feet, and I heard him who spoke to me. Now, this is the making of a firewall intercessor, okay? First, he had to stand on his feet to give attention to his God so that God could speak to him with his full attention. And then it says the Spirit entered him, and God spoke to him and set him on his feet, and he heard him who spoke. This is the making of a firewall intercessor. God had things to say to Israel, and he had judgments to pronounce. And Ezekiel was to be a firewall to Israel by speaking the word of the Lord to them. And this is the reason, folks, in hopes that the people would return, would repent and turn back to God. That they would repent, turn back to God, and turn away from their rebellion. So God sends Ezekiel. Says, I need a firewall. I'm about to judge them. I'm about to give them their woes and give them the bad truth of what's about to happen. But they need an intercessor. They need a firewall person. And so he gets Ezekiel to stand and take on the mantle. Look at verses 3 through 5. It says, and he said to me, son of man, I'm sending you to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day, for they are impudent and stubborn children. I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, thus says the Lord God. As for them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are a rebellious house, yet they will know that a prophet has been among them. The important thing is not whether they listen to you or not. The important thing is that you speak the word of the Lord and you are a firewall to the people that need to hear the word of the Lord. You must be a firewall person. So that's the commission. I'm sending you to the children of Israel. Okay? Now look at verses 6 through 10. Here's the download, okay? The commission was in the first verses. Here's the next portion. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns are with you, and you dwell among scorpions, do not be afraid of their words or dismayed at their looks, though they are a rebellious house. I mean, to be even afraid of the way somebody looks at you is a bad situation. But he's telling them what's going on. He said, you shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are rebellious. But you, son of man, hear what I say to you. Do not be rebellious like the rebellious house. Open your mouth, and here's the download. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. In other words, receive the download, receive the revelation, receive the inspiration, receive the perception, receive the understanding of what I am wanting to say to the house of Israel. But you've got to open your mouth and eat what I give you. Now, when I looked, there was a hand stretched out to me, and behold, a scroll and a book was on it. It says, then he spread it before me, and there was writing on the inside and outside, and written on it were lamentations and mourning and woe. This was God saying, this is God, what he wanted to say to the children of Israel. It was filled with lamentations and mourning and woe. But he downloaded it into Ezekiel so Ezekiel could become the firewall to the children of Israel. Powerful, powerful thing. Okay, firewall intercessors get the mind of God on things. If you're going to be a firewall intercessor, using this illustration, if you're going to be one to stand in that place between God and judgment, between God and evil, if you're going to be one, you have to get the mind of God on things, just like he ate the scroll. You've got to eat the Word of God. You've got to get the mind of God in order to pray effectively. A computer system without a firewall is always open to attack. Is always open. So listen, folks, a people, a nation without a firewall is open to attack. And this nation, for a few decades, lost its firewall people. We lost the real meaning of intercession and praying for the nation. We lost what it really meant to stand against sin and to stand against evil, to stand against what the nation was allowing to come in. The evil, the sin, and the sinfulness, the wickedness that came into this nation, we lost our firewall people. We didn't have this wall set up, and this nation is now filled with all sorts of evil. Abortion to over 60 million. Same-sex marriage. Redefining gender. You name it. All these things came in because the firewall was missing between evil and judgment and the people that were going to be affected by it. God has given us His Word and His Holy Spirit for you and I to become firewall intercessors. Some of you say, well, intercession isn't my calling. If you have His Word and you have His Holy Spirit, you qualify to be a firewall intercessor. You qualify to pray on higher levels. You qualify to pray on levels that are going to impact cities and nations. You can't say, well, that's not me. I just pray for people's pets. If they're sick, bring them to me. I'll pray for their pets. I pray for pets. I've been asked to pray for people's pets, and I prayed for them. There's nothing wrong with praying for them. That's what they wanted. That's what I prayed. And it became a testimony to the person that was hearing me pray who was lost. After I prayed for that dog that died. I prayed for that dog, and afterwards, the guy that was there that was lost, he said, I have never heard a prayer like that. I've never heard somebody talk to God like that. And it became a testimony to him. So it's okay to pray for pets. But don't stay there at your level and say, that's what I do. No, God has given you His Word. He's filled you with His Holy Spirit. He has made you qualified to be a firewall intercessor, to stand in the gap for people who desperately need somebody to stand between them and an angry God. Because God is angry with sin. We know Psalm 119:11, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Okay? His Word is a firewall. Okay, if there's a besetting sin in your life, if there's a sin that's in you that you just can't seem to overcome, get into the Word and memorize every scripture that has to do with that sin. Thy word have I hid in my heart. It doesn't say, thy word I carry in the book. It doesn't say, the word I carry in my Bible. Here, it doesn't do you any good. here in your heart, it does a lot of good. Okay? It's a firewall. And then you look at Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit fell, he fell in the form of what? Fire, tongues of fire. Our God is a consuming fire. The Holy Spirit fell with tongues of fire, and he lit the church up. He lit the church up, and the church from that moment became the firewall to a lost people. It became a firewall to those who were under the judgment and condemnation of God. That's why Jesus said, go into all the world. That's why he said, tarry in Jerusalem until you be filled with power from on high. Those two things go together. Go into the world, be filled with the Spirit. Wait until you're filled, because you will be the firewall that will stay my judgment on a people who deserve my judgment. You and I, the church, we are the firewall to Safford. The body of Christ, we are the firewall to Safford. And the thing that, you know, I'm just going to complain right now, but just as me, you can listen in on it. What disturbs me is how few people come to prayer meetings. What disturbs me is that people want prayer, but they won't come to prayer. They wait for somebody to pray for them, but they won't come and pray for themselves. And a nation is going to hell because we don't have people who will rise up in the anointing of the Spirit of God and with the Word of God to be firewall people for a nation that needs him desperately. That's my commercial. I'm believing for 1,000 people come October. I'm believing for 1,000 people who will come, and that I'm praying that will become a firewall. A firewall set up, not just in this valley, not just for these counties that we're bringing, but for the state and for the nation. Because this nation needs a whole lot of firewalls. This is a big nation, right? This is a big nation, so we need a lot of firewalls that are set up to ward off evil. Okay? So Acts chapter 2 was the second part of the firewall, the Holy Spirit coming and descending. Okay? Now look at Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3, this is, again, the making of a firewall intercessor. How many of you know intercessors are not always nice? Intercessors don't always have the best personality. Folks, when you're dealing with demons, you don't mess around. When you're dealing with staying the hand of God with judgment, you've got to be fierce. So what happens? Let's just kind of go through this. I know it's long, but let's go through it. Moreover, he said to me in verse 1, Son of man, eat what you find. Again, he's assimilating it. Eat this scroll and go speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth and he caused me to eat the scroll. He opened his mouth and it's like God shoved it down his throat. If you don't want it, God might shove it down your throat. Okay? And he said to me, Son of man, feed your belly and fill your stomach with this scroll that I give you. So I ate, and it was in my mouth like honey and sweetness. Okay? And then he said to me, Son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak with my words to them. Okay? He got the download. It's in him now. And now he has to release it. For you were not sent. Look at this. You're not sent to a people of unfamiliar speech and a hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not too many people of unfamiliar speech and hard language whose words you do not understand. Surely, had I sent you to them, they would have listened to you. But the house of Israel will not listen to you because they will not listen to me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Now look at this, verse 8. Behold, I have made your face strong against their faces. In other words, if they give him a mean look, he's going to give a mean look back. They look at him, he's going to look at them. And he's going to match them. I've made your face strong against their faces and your forehead strong against their foreheads. How many of you ever seen people butt their heads together? That's what God gave Ezekiel a hard head for, so he can butt heads with people that are hard-headed. He said, make your forehead strong against their foreheads like adamant stone. Adamant stone is like diamond. Like adamant stone, harder than flint. Another translation is like diamond that cuts the flint stone. I've made your forehead. Do not be afraid of them, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they are a rebellious house. That's how God makes intercessors. That's how God makes firewall intercessors. They have a determination. They have an attitude, a spiritual attitude that is going to match the spiritual attitude that they're surrounded with or that they're going to. You've got to match it, folks. When we get into intercession and we get into prayer for things that are ungodly and we're standing before God and between God and who he wants to judge, we've got to have just as a hard head as they do. We've got to be determined in our prayers. It's time to take the gloves off. That's what we're trying to say here. He said, I have made your forehead. Do not be afraid of them, nor be dismayed. If looks could kill. Verse 10, moreover, he said to me, Son of man, receive into your heart all my words. Again, here it is, the words that I speak to you and hear with your ears, and go get to the captives, to the children of your people, and speak to them and tell them, thus says the Lord God, that whether they hear or whether they refuse. Then the Spirit lifted me up, and I heard behind me a great thunderous voice, blessed is the glory of the Lord from his place. I also heard the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touched one another, and the noise of the wheels beside them, and a great thunderous noise. God was letting them hear that heaven was ready to work with them. When God moves you into a place like this, you're not alone. And God let them hear the sounds of heaven. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away. And look at this. I went in bitterness, in the heat of my spirit. But the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. That is the making of a firewall intercessor. Then I came to the captives of Tel Aviv, who dwelt by the river Chebar, and I sat there. I sat where they sat, and remained there astonished among them 7 days. And God continues. I mean, it goes all the way down through verse 31. The power that is going on. Let's move on over because I'm almost out of time. Go to Ezekiel 22. This is a familiar passage to you. Ezekiel 22. I want to begin in verse 29. In verse 29 it says, the people of the land have used oppressions, committed robbery, and mistreated the poor and needy, and they wrongfully oppressed the stranger. God sees this as a wicked people. So what does he say? So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Verse 31 says, therefore I have poured out my indignation. Between 29 and 31 is verse 30. Between 29, where God sees all the sin and all the wickedness, and between verse 31, where he has poured out his indignation, is verse 30, where he says, I'm looking for somebody to stand in the gap. I'm looking for somebody to make up the wall. What wall? The firewall of intercession. I'm looking for somebody among the people, like we talked about earlier. God's judgment is going to fall, but before it falls, he looks to see if there's anybody who's crying out to him in firewall intercession to stay his hand. He said, basically what he's saying is, if I would have found something, I wouldn't have done it. If I would have found some intercessors, if I would have found some people that would stand in the gap, that be wall builders, if I could have found some firewall people, I would not have done it. But the condemnation, the judgment was, I found no one. I found no one. That's a horrible situation. Our nation, folks, is in desperate need of firewalls. Desperate need of firewalls. Our city is in need of a firewall. This nation, let me close with this. I'm not a good artist, so you'll have to forgive me. Okay? Matthew's a good artist. I saw him doing some drawings before we started church. Anybody know what this is? Oh, I'm not that bad, am I? Okay, here's the United States. It's not a cow being milked, okay? What's happening? I just lost you, didn't I? Okay. What's happening right now in our nation? What's been happening? Okay, let me tell you what we're doing right now, okay? September, the return. A holy convocation in Washington, D.C., somewhere there. Okay. This is a firewall, okay? A firewall prayer meeting, Washington, D.C. In October, there's going to be, in Ohio, there's going to be the reset. Okay? There's going to be another firewall prayer. We're asking the Lord to help us here in Arizona with another firewall. Okay? That would be a time of prayer. A time of prayer, a time of seeking God, a time of being firewall intercessors, repenting like Nehemiah 1 and Daniel 9 on behalf of the nation, on behalf of the sins of the people. But this isn't all that's happening, folks. This isn't all that's happening. Ohio's in the wrong place. Ohio's more, well, you know where it's at. Wherever, you know. Somewhere here. Okay, that's closer. What happened up here in Minnesota? Huh? Remember the killing? George Floyd? Okay. Evil rose up, and it was horrible. The riots took place. All these things took place. But what happened was a group of believers said, let's go. And they went, and they began to worship. And they began to pray in the exact same location on that corner, that street, that location where George Floyd died, where he was killed. They set up a platform and they began to worship and pray. They began to worship and pray. And what we read about earlier took place there. People were getting saved. People were being water baptized right there in the street. Why? Because God wants a firewall. Okay, God wants a firewall. These things are happening, folks. In Seattle, what we just read about, another firewall. People going into Chop and Chaz and saying, we're going to worship. And Satan is coming in and saying, hail Satan, hail Satan. But in the midst of that, people are getting saved. They're worshiping. They're being baptized. God is wanting to set up a firewall. And then there's places along the coast. There are a couple places at least along the coast in California where the church was gathering together, over 5,000 people, and they were having baptisms and miracles and things were taking place and more firewalls. In another location in California, a little bit inward, there was another place where at a bridge they had another time of intercession, of prayer and praise, another firewall. Okay? In New York City, on the Brooklyn Bridge, Christians gathered together and they began to move and they began to pray. Well, you know where it's at. Well, that is. The Brooklyn is below Washington. Wherever. Okay. You know what I get, you know what I'm trying to get at. Okay? So you have all these places that are springing up as firewalls. You have all these places that are coming in. People are saying, enough. What did I say intercessors do? They say, enough. That's enough. This is it. And so the church is beginning to rise up. And I don't know where it was, but in other places, churches were gathering together in Walmart. A church gathered together in a Walmart store. And I think what it looked like was in the vegetable section because it was kind of open. But they gathered together there and they just started worshiping in Walmart. The same thing happened in a Home Depot. There was a Home Depot that people went into Home Depot and began to worship and praise. And so what's happening is God is beginning to, in his own way, we're seeing little sparks, little flashes of fire. Can we have one here in Safford? Can we have a firewall set up in Safford? Can we have people come together and pray? It's going to be arduous. It's going to take work. But folks, we're inviting people to come. We're inviting people to move. We're inviting people to come from all over, from four counties, from Gila, from Cochise, from Greenlee, and from here in Graham. We're wanting them to come so we can pray together. There's a possibility of that our governor is going to be involved in some sort, either by coming or being or writing a letter. We're not sure. We have one of our state representatives that's going to be here to be a part of it. We have a county supervisor that says he wants to be a part of it. We have our mayor who says he's going to be a part of it. So we have different levels of government that are saying we want to come and be a part of it. So we're seeing something begin to materialize here, but we need to pray over this. And we need you to attend. We need you to attend because God is on the move. How many of you want to be a firewall intercessor? Folks, I'm telling you, it's going to cost you. I wish I had more time to get through this. But you get the idea, right? You get the idea. When I saw this yesterday evening, I started just writing some things down and saying, Lord, you got to show me some of this. And I really began to see that he wants us to move in this direction. To move in this direction. Well, stand with me, please. I pray that you caught some of this. I want us to be a people that prays. I want us to be a people that can impact our own area, this region, because of our prayers. It begins with prayer, but it also takes action. Father, thank you. Father, we thank you that even in the midst of the evil that we see rising up, we see good things happening. We see the church rising up in those areas, Father, where evil has risen up. And they've taken a stand and they've been vocal and they've worshiped you out loud and with passion in the midst of evil, Father. And I pray, God, that more firewalls would spring up across this nation, that there would be even more rising up, releasing, Father, your will into this nation. We truly don't know, Father, what is going to happen with this election. We don't know who's going to win. But, Father, our prayer is that you have your way and that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We do have a vote. And we must exercise that as believers. We should vote. But Father, we leave the outcome to you. And we put our trust and our faith in you. That God, you are setting things in place for you to release, Father, these end times, the tribulation period, into this world. Whether that's in a year or 10 years, we don't know. But Father, we look up. Because we believe our redemption is drawing nigh. We put our faith, our hope, our trust, our confidence in you. We will not be shaken. We will stand firm in our faith. We will believe you, Father. We'll trust in you, and we will pray. Father, we will be the firewall intercessors, the firewall people, God, for this city. That when eternity rolls around, God, we will see the effectiveness and the fruitfulness of our prayers and our intercession and how it impacted this valley. But Father, we also want to see it with our own eyes. We want to see the manifestation, Father, the fruitfulness of our prayers. So thank you, Father, for calling us into a time of deeper prayer. Help us, Lord, to pay the price for it. Father, thank you for this night. Thank you for your word. We love you. We praise you. We honor you tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Well, Lord bless you. Have a great night tonight in Jesus' name.